Good morning, good morning, good morning. Do you love that song that we just sang? Come on, man. I mean, the whole gospel, the good news, right? We are free in Christ. Let me hear a freedom. Okay, can we yell out freedom? Freedom! Woo! That's cool, right? Man, sometimes I want to bring a sword. When I was younger and had darker hair and had more hair, I would sometimes bring a sword to church and like hold it up in the air and yell freedom, and our church would go crazy. It was awesome. I should have done that this morning because it's Father's Day, right? Hey, I might have a few movie references for us men, okay? And I'm going to be honest with you. Some of you women might go, what is he talking? But for us men, I got a few of those today, okay? Cool. Everybody excited to be here? Are you excited to be here? I can't believe that Jeff trusted me to do this twice. I texted him during the announcements, and I said, bro, you trusted me two times here. That's pretty crazy, because the first time, and I heard that they trusted Monty here too, and Monty's, I heard he cussed. That's cool. I will try not to do that today. So I'm just kidding. He did cuss. Are you guys excited? Psalm 68. Psalm 68. We started out several weeks ago in Psalm 1, and we've been, and all the different preachers you've had, whether it's Charles or guests, have come in and they've spent the month talking about Psalms, different Psalms. And so I think it's important when we look at a Psalm that we understand where it came from, because it's really just a book of songs. You know what I mean? A book of songs that the Israelites, they would sing and they would remember what God had done. And this one especially, it's important to realize where it came from. I mean, there's all of them are that way, but this one especially. Psalm 68 is a song of David. And David, the historians believe that they sang this song. Check this out. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, where they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem with the armies and all of that, they believe that he wrote that for this. And the reason is because the first line of this song is basically the same line that's found in Numbers chapter 10 when Moses is bringing the Ark of the Covenant out and leading them out of Sinai. So it's this moment where he says, God shall arise, his enemies shall be scattered, and those who hate him shall flee before him. Now this is a big deal because this was in Numbers chapter 10 when they're coming out of Sinai. They'd been there for years and they're coming out of Sinai, and Moses is leading them with the Ark of the Covenant. And they're singing this song, these big, huge words, right? And so then David repeats these words several hundred years later. It's kind of like today, if we heard the words 84 years ago, you would remember who? Abraham Lincoln, exactly. It's the same kind of thing. This meant a lot to them, these words. And so when he starts the psalm with these words, remember that. This is what context this psalm comes from. Now, I'm not going to spend the whole day going through all 35 verses. Now, this is a great psalm. I would encourage you to go read through the whole verses with that context in mind, all of it. We're going to spend the time on the first 6 verses because it's Father's Day, right? And I want us to look at how God is our Father and some things that we can learn from the first 6 verses that will remind us what kind of Father he is. So let's pray together and then we'll start. Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today at Authentic Life. It's a great church that's alive. It's so cool to see what you've done here over the years, Lord, and to see that as they enter their 10th year coming up soon, that Father, that you will remind them what they've been able to accomplish through your word and what they've seen happen. But God, I know that this is the beginning and that you have a plan for Authentic Life for years to come to see your kingdom come down here to Tucson. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, Jeff sent out an email this week to several of us, I think, that said, hey, you guys were around at the beginning. Do you guys know your 10th anniversary is coming in January? He probably hasn't told you that yet. But your 10th anniversary is coming. And it's so cool to see what God has done in the first 10 years of this church. And I can't wait to see what he's going to do next. And anybody excited about next week when he brings Scarlett, you know? I'm assuming they're going to be here next week. Are they going to come, Charles, you think? Or you think they're going to be in bed sleeping from all that jet lag? There's probably, I imagine they're going to be here. I mean, they're going to be excited to show off little Scarlett, right? And have you seen the pictures online and stuff? No? Yay? Yeah. She is adorable. Oh, my goodness. So it's his first Father's Day with his daughter. Isn't that cool? And it's her first Father's Day ever to have a daddy. Isn't that a cool thing? So I want us to look today at Psalm 68. I'm going to read to you the first six verses, and then we'll talk about it. Sound good? Verse 1, God shall arise, his enemies shall be scattered, and those who hate him shall flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so you shall drive them away. As wax melts before fire, so the wicked shall perish before God. But the righteous shall be glad. They shall exult before God. They shall be jubilant with joy. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord. Exult before him. Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. Aren't those great words? Who our Father is, our Father in heaven, he is a great, great God and a great Father. A good, good Father. I'm surprised we didn't sing that today. A good, good Father, right? You don't like that song? It's been sung way too many times, right? I'm 100% with you, man, because I was sure that you were going to sing that this morning. I was going to go, here we go again. It's a great song. Don't get me wrong. Okay. It's just, we've sang it a lot of times. Kind of like when I was a kid, and there was this lady named Amy Grant. You guys, any older guys know who this Amy Grant is? And there was this song, El Shaddai, Shoot Me in the Head. We heard it way too many times. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, my goodness. Sorry. Okay, here we go. Sorry, Jeff. I told you. You trusted me twice. So let's look and see what God has to say, what we can learn about God in these six. I have 6 things that we can learn about God in this short passage. And so I want to read the scripture again, and I want to pause. Tell us what I think we can learn from this part. So verse 1 says, God shall arise, his enemies shall be scattered, and those who hate him shall flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so shall you drive them away. As wax melts before fire, so the wicked shall perish before God. But the righteous shall be glad. They shall exult before God. They shall be jubilant with joy. When I was a kid, do you guys, any of you that are, again, we have a few of us in here that have less hair or grayer hair. And so any of you remember the old Catalina the old Catalina movie theater down in Campbell? I think it even says Catalina's still there. Does it still say that? Anyways, I remember it growing up, and I remember this moment where I thought, my dad is a bad dude. We were at this movie theater, and I'll never forget this, man. I'll never forget it. As long as I'm 55 years old, my dad's going to be 80 this year, and I was probably like maybe 10 or 11 at this time. We're in line at the movie theater. My dad's 6'5", right? He's a big dude. And he was like a PE teacher. He's a big dude. And I don't think anything of it. He's my dad, right? So we're standing there, and there's this guy in front of him that's kind of being rude. And being rude to all the people around him. He stepped in front of my dad and got in front of the line. He was being really rude to the young lady who was, you know, helping us, right? I think it was the concession stand. We were trying to get some popcorn, right? And he was being really rude. And he said a couple words that he shouldn't say. And it's a movie that, like, I think there was like all kinds of kids in the room. My dad just tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Sir, please don't talk like that in front of my kids." And I kid you not, this is what happened. Okay, I'm going to start like this, because here's the dude at the concession stand. He did this. And he said, "Yes, sir." And I thought, that's my dad. That is my dad, right? And I was like, that is so cool. And I'll never forget that moment, because there was two things that were happening there. I was proud of my dad. I was thinking, look at what he did. But I was also just a little bit scared, because my dad could have whooped that guy, right? And that's kind of what this passage says right here. That we have a God, that a Father that we can be proud of, right? And that we can like puff up our chest a little bit and go, that's my dad. You know, here's first movie reference. First movie reference, warning, warning, warning. I love Mel Gibson movies. I'm not saying Mel Gibson's always the greatest guy, but I love Mel Gibson movies. One of my favorite movies of all time, and it's not a big acclaimed movie, but I love it, is The Patriot. You guys seen the movie? Well, there's this moment in The Patriot. I don't care what time of day it is, or what I'm about to do. You just told her what part it is, right? Okay, I saw you lean over. You told her what part I'm about to say. You guys already know what's coming. So I'll never forget. I mean, I love this. I mean, I'll wait and be late for something if I see it, it's on TV and it's near this part. I'll wait and watch it. There's this part where the British come in and they come to his house and they take his oldest son, right? And he tells his girl, he says, just, and he sets their house on, and they set his house on fire. And he says, just a moment. He runs inside, grabs some guns, grabs his axe. As far as they know, they've never seen their dad like this. He's actually been a bit of a pacifist because back in the day, he was a bad warrior, right? But they don't know this. His kids don't know this. They've never seen this. He comes back out. He's got three guns in his hands. He says, boys, you come with me. Girls and younger boy, you go out in the field and hide till we get back. And they go and they find this spot, an ambush spot. I told you, I'm warning you. And he gives his sons his gun. And he says, aim for the officers first and work your way down. Because they got his son. And he says, remember, boys, what I've told you. Aim small, miss small. Remember that? I tell my kids that when we go hunting. I say, aim small, miss small. And then his kids watch him go on this rampage with shooting and an axe. And they say, oh my goodness, that's my dad. I've never seen my dad like that. I know that's a horrible story. But it's the same kind of thing, man, where we you know, it's this thing about God that we are in reverential awe of him. That he is our dad. He is our Father. We can be proud of him. And maybe when we're in awe, there's maybe a little bit of fear because he's God. Right? So the idea of God is a Father we can be proud of. And I want us to say this. God is a Father we can be proud of. Say that with me. God is a Father that we could be proud of. We should be proud of. I'm going to ask you to say some of these things over and over and over today. But that's something we should remember. It's a mantra. God is a Father we should be proud of. And then in verse 4, it says this. I love this. But the righteous shall be glad, and they shall exult before God. They shall be jubilant with joy. That was verse 3. Verse 4 says, sing to God, sing praises to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord. Exult before him. Sing to his name. God is a Father that we should honor. You know, sing praise to his name. And it means this, is praising God. It's not, when it says sing to his name, it says praising God with knowledge of his character. We know the names of God. And we can think through the names of God and who he is. It's because we know his character. And if you look in the Old Testament, there's all these different names of God. And the big one is Yahweh, right? And it was so big that they didn't say it. There weren't vowels that they could say. It was YHWH, right? And in our language. They couldn't say it, but they were, in this passage right here, he puts a little shortened version of it in it, like Yah, right? And it's not to abbreviate. It's not to minimize, but rather it's to intensify. When they did this, it was to intensify what it is. And so right after they got saying about how this God is a God that will scatter their enemies, they say, this is the guy. This is the guy. This is the God who we need to praise. Praise him for who he is. Praise his character. We know who he is. We've seen him over the years. Remember when this was? They were bringing the Ark of the Covenant out of the Sinai. Now they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. And it's a big deal. Praise this God. Honor our God. We should honor our God. We should be proud of our Father, and we should honor our Father. Say it with me. We should be proud of our Father, and we should honor our father. That's not good. We should be proud of our father, and we should honor our father. Verse 5, here it is. This is the moment you've been waiting for, right? Verse 5 says this. He is father of the fatherless. You know, your pastor, the last month, has put a bunch of money, a bunch of time, a bunch of energy, a bunch of resources towards going to get their daughter because she was fatherless. And not only did they just go there, but apparently I found this out that because of where they're at and where they're adopting her from, they had to bring the whole family there for a month, right? And like be there with them. I love that. So she is part of their family. She's coming home with them because he is father to Scarlett. So much bigger is how God is God to us. He is a father to the fatherless. God's greatness is not measured by his power or might. The greatness of my dad, one of the things I remember is not my dad in the movie theater. It's my dad who held me and told me he loves me and treated and taught me things and showed compassion to me. That's the greatness of our God, is that he has compassion for those without a father. God is a father to the orphans, and here's the deal. He chose us. He chose us. Jesus is his son. We are his adopted children. The Bible says we've been adopted into his family. That means he chose you, and he chose you, and he chose you, and he chose me. I mean, that's pretty cool. Not only should we be proud of our father, and we should honor our father, he chose us. It goes on to say, he is father to the fatherless and protector of widows, is God in his holy habitation. So check this out. In James it says what pure religion is. Anybody know what pure religion is? Be father to the fatherless and love and help widows, right? Take care of orphans and widows. That's what the Bible says. Pure religion is taking care of orphans and widows. And it's a connection to this passage right here. And we as Christians need to live out the character of God. When we know the character of God and we honor him for who he is, we need to, pure religion is to live like him. That's what we should be about, is living like him. So he is someone who not only chose us, but he also meets our needs. James 1:7 says pure religion, and it's a direct correlation to this. We are his hands and feet. You've heard that before, right? We are hands and feet. You know, that's who we should be, is his hands and feet. We practice pure religion to the world. And so we love orphans, we take care of orphans, and we take care of widows. And then in verse 6, it says this. God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. God settles the solitary in a home. When my dad, when I was like probably 6, 7 years old, I remember this kid named Billy McQuarrie. At the time, I didn't know what was going on. But over the years, I realized what my dad had done. There was this young man in our that he coached baseball. He was his baseball coach from like, you know, his ninth grade baseball coach, right? And he lost his dad. His dad died when he was in baseball that year. And Billy McQuarrie came and lived with us for a while. I didn't know why. I just knew that there was this older guy in our house. His mom wasn't able to come. His mom wasn't able to take care of him. And so he came and lived in our house for a little bit. Because he didn't have anyone else. He didn't have another family. And so he was, in a way, deserted. He was solitary. But yet my dad, my family, brought him into our house. You know, that's what the church is. The church is God's family who love lonely people, and we need to bring them into our house and treat them as family and invite them into our family. God doesn't forget about the lonely. He meets needs, and he takes care of the lonely. I mean, we're talking about a great God, a great Father. Are we describing a great Father here? He's someone we can be proud of. He's someone we should honor. He chose us. He meets our needs. And you are not alone because of him. Even if you feel alone and you're the only one in the world, God loves you. I mean, loves you deeply. And if you're here for the first time and you walked in and you're alone, let us tell you, you're not alone. There's people in here that will love you and treat you as family because we are family. You have a place in this church because of Jesus. So God protects the widows. He is a home for the deserted. And then lastly, this is the best part of who our God is. In verse 6, it says this. God settles the solitary in home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. God sets the captives free. He sets the captives free. Now, I know, I mean, in the Bible, there's times when people were in jail and he literally sets them free. Literally. Like they walk through the walls because of God. That is crazy, right? That's how much he can do it. He can set us all free. But it's not just talking about prisoners. It's talking about freedom from sin. It's talking about freedom from death. It's talking about freedom from all of the consequences of death. He sets us free indeed. And he did that by sending his son, the way this young lady read earlier. God sent his son in order to set us free. Jesus, one of the reasons, there you go. I got a little too excited. Has Jeff ever done that? Happy Father's Day. Jesus came to set us free. That's the reason he came. We were dead in our sins, and now we can be alive in Christ. I think I said this last time. It's not a good person because you were a bad person. No, it's you are alive because you were a dead person. He sets us free. Okay. Announcement. Second one coming. Second story. Okay. How many of you have seen Braveheart? Best movie of all time. Some of you are going, oh my goodness. No, seriously. Best movie of all time. I love Braveheart. I love Braveheart. And there's a scene. Some of you know what scene I'm talking about. It's when they all show up. The Scottish Army shows up on the field. And it's just a bunch of guys who's got, like, broken swords and all kinds of stuff. They're a ragtag bunch of people, right? And they're about to go up against the British Army. And as a matter of fact, when he gets there and William Wallace shows up with his blue painted face, you know, come on, that's awesome, right? He's got half his face painted blue. He gets I am William Wallace. And everybody goes, no, you're not William Wallace. William Wallace is 7 feet tall, right? You know what I'm talking about now? He's on a horse. He's got the blue face. He's got the sword in his back. It's crazy. It's epic. And then he says, I am William Wallace. And we're going to go do something to these guys, right? And they say, we're not going to fight. We're scared. And he says, listen, not only are we going to stand here today because you don't want in 20 years from now, in 30 years from now, you may be alive, but in 20, 30 years from now, you don't want to remember the time where you missed the opportunity to say to these English people, you can't take our freedom. And then they all go, rah, right? You know, so it's crazy. And they yell and stuff. You know that the day before, if you've watched the movie, you see that there's this whole big, huge British army on the mountain, right? And then they're down in this valley, and they're up in the hill, and they're down this valley, and there's a whole Scottish army. Did you know when they filmed those were the same extras? Did you know that? I heard a guy talk about this one time. Those were the same people. But now in the movie, they're different people. And the ones in the uniforms the day before, they filmed that shot the day before, now they're in their Scottish kilts and stuff and all that stuff. And they're getting ready. And then the line that they yell is "A la Gubra," right? And it means "for Scotland." And he's supposed to yell it. He's supposed to yell it. Mel Gibson as William Wallace. He's supposed to yell "A la Gubra." He goes, "And they can't take away our freedom. A la Gubra." And that's supposed to be the end of it. But that's not what happened. These actors, these extras who were just there. Yesterday they were the British. But he gets so fired up, he raises his arm and he goes, "You can't take away our freedom." And they go, "Oh, look at bro." And they all together and they yell and they go crazy. That just happened. It was spontaneous. But they kept it in the movie because it was awesome, right? But here's why. That's how valuable freedom is. We all desire to be free. And God set us free with his son Jesus. Free indeed. We have freedom in Christ. Freedom from death. Freedom from sin. We are no longer captives. We are no longer slaves to sin. If you are a follower of Jesus today, you are free from sin. So let me say to those to you today who just maybe showed up here or maybe you've been checking out this whole Jesus thing and you're like, "I'm not sure what you're talking about." Listen, Jesus and his son, we sang a song about it. Young lady read about it. The greatest story ever told, the most epic story ever told is true. Jesus went to the cross and he died for your sins and he died for my sins. He died there so that you can be free and adopted into God's family. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've said. It really doesn't matter what you've done. So today, if you come in here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus and you think that your way is good enough, the Bible says in Proverbs 14:12 that there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Your sin leads to death. But because of Jesus' sacrifice, because of God, the Father, sending his son to earth to die in my place because he never sinned, so he's the only one that could ever die for my sin. Because he did that, I can be free, you can be free from our sin. And if we have a relationship with him, we are free indeed and we are adopted into the family of Jesus, and family of God. Today, I don't want you to leave here today without joining the family. You may have 50 brothers and sisters. You may have a great dad, great mom. But if you're not part of the family of God, your way leads to death. What the Bible teaches us. But Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." So trust Jesus today. Give your life to Jesus today. The Father sent his son. We know that God is a father we can be proud of. We know that God is a father we should honor. We know that God is a father to the orphans. He chose us. We know that God is a home for the deserted. You are not alone. We know that God sets the captives free. He sent his son Jesus to earth so that you can be free in Christ and have a relationship with him and be part of his family. Now, I could stop here and say, "Come to Jesus." And by the way, don't leave today without being part of the family, giving your life to Jesus. Don't leave here today without. We'll get back to that. I could stop here. But a few years ago when I was pastoring Common Ground, and several years ago now, probably 8 or 10 years ago now, when I was pastoring Common Ground in Sabadita, I'll never forget, I was just doing a typical Father's Day message. Something like this maybe, you know, or talking about fathers. I don't know what it was. I don't even remember the passage. I don't remember what I was talking about. I knew it was Father's Day. And I'll never forget this. And it's changed the way I do Father's Day messages. The lady came up to me afterwards and she said, "You know, Ben, I hate Father's Day." I said, "What? What are you talking about?" She goes, "My dad was a mean man. He was drunk all the time. And right now, he's in prison and I hope he stays there until he dies. I hate Father's Day." You know, some people, Father's Day stinks. And so I don't want to leave here today. I know that they're in a group this size, there may be people here that had a bad earthly father, maybe a deadbeat dad, or I had a great father, and maybe you did too, but there are probably some people here today who didn't. And when we talk about God as Father, they may not resonate with that because their Abba Father, their daddy, wasn't great. And if that's you today, I know that I'm sorry that happened. I'm really sorry. Shouldn't have been that way. It's not the way God intended. But because of sin, people sometimes fail. And men sometimes are bad dads. Maybe today you come in here and you go, it's just a difficult day because my dad passed away recently. Or my dad deserted. I don't know what it is. But I have just five real quick things I want to say about God our Father. That I just want you to know. This does not mitigate the fact. Maybe a little. Does not mitigate the fact that you had a bad dad. But I do want to say this. Our God, the God to the fatherless, the Father of fathers, the good Father, He will never leave you. He will never leave you. Maybe your dad left. Maybe your dad's gone. He's passed away. Our Father will never leave you. As a matter of fact, He says in His word that He will never leave you nor forsake you. He loves you. He will not leave you. It's not part of His character. He is incapable of leaving you. If your father left you, our Father will never leave us. The second thing is this. Just really quick things. Boom, 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 boom. The second thing is this. Your Father will never hurt you. You know, in Jeremiah 29:11, it says that I have plans for you. Plans that will not harm you, but plans for your hope and your future. God has a plan for your life. He doesn't intend to harm you. That doesn't mean that He won't discipline you or you won't suffer consequences of your sins, but our Father will not harm you. He's not going to hurt you. If your father was a bad dude and hurt you, I'm sorry, but our Father won't hurt you. Our Father, your Father, knows what you need. He knows what you need. He will provide for you. Not everybody's fathers provided for them well. Sometimes they did the best they could, but they just didn't provide well. Our Father has all the cattle on a thousand hills, man. And He will provide for you. He gives you what you need. He knows what you need. Our Father, your Father, check this one out. You ready? He takes joy in you. Maybe there were times when you were growing up that you felt like your dad didn't want you around, that you were a bother. That you were a nuisance. Your Father in heaven takes joy in you. He loves you. And lastly, our Father, your Father, does not love you because of anything you've done. He just loves you. He doesn't love you because of what you've done. You know, I'm sure all of us can identify with this. There are times with all of our fathers we feel like we have to live up to what they want. You got to throw a ball hard. Or you got to make a lot of money. Or you got to do this or you got to do that to earn your father's love. You can't do anything to earn your Father in heaven's love. There's nothing that you can do. He loves you so much that in your worst moments, He sent His Son, His only Son, to this earth to die for you, to adopt you into His family because He chose you. Our Father doesn't love us because of anything we've done. Our Father will never leave you. Your Father will never hurt you. Your Father knows what you need. Your Father takes joy in you. And your Father does not love you because of anything you've done. He loves you because He loves you. You can trust Him. You may not have been able to trust your dad, but you can trust Him. He's a good, good Father. He is the Father you always wanted, you always needed. He is that. to every one of us. Let's pray together.